and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Damaschek football program. Hope all's well wherever you are. We are doing a special episode of the DDFP, but as always, it is presented by McDonald's. Go get yourself some McPick 2, two items of your choosing. $2 is all it'll cost you. Do it. Fill your belly up so that your brain is free to think about what's going to go down in Super Bowl 50 when we get out there. We're out here on the fancy stage today. Mm-hmm. Let's say hello to everybody joining us out here. You know, we have an opportunity to let our hair down a little bit because for the first time, sadly, in what, 20 weeks or 19 weeks, there isn't football to prepare for this weekend.
Right.
Save the Pro Bowl, of course. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of football.
So there is basically no football.
Zero. No, it's a football game.
Well, oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Not for Aaron Rodgers. This poor guy. I mean, prayers go out to Aaron Rodgers, who once again, the chances for this poor guy after the playoffs and before the Pro Bowl keeps getting injured, can't make it to the Pro Bowl. I feel bad for him.
Can we blame this on Olivia Munn? I'm not going to.
No, don't.
Let's talk about that. We hear some voices going on. First, let's say hello. You know them, of course, if you're fans of comedy, if you watch TV at all. They're all over your TV. They have Scarborough County, the great podcast, of course, that everybody on this stage has been on at one point or another.
You're on.
Randy and Jason Sklar, what's the poop, fellas? How are you?
We're good. So happy to be here. And you were fantastic on our podcast.
I was.
Very knowledgeable. And same with you, MJ.
I was.
I'm excited for this Super Bowl, although I think it's going to be another like 52-10 sort of a game, in my opinion. But I'm excited to see it.
Well, you know, first let's say hello to the other fellas. Yeah. You hear them every week on the DDFP. We're pleased to have them twice this week on the DDFP. First of all, the former Jaguar, the former Bruin, the former Raider, Maurice Jones-Drew. What's the poop, fella?
It was yellow and a little runny this morning.
Oh, man.
What do you mean? He asked a question. I've always been wondering, so I figured I'd answer so he could stop asking.
Hey, Maurice, right here, no one's impressed.
When you look in the mirror in the morning, do you just say to yourself, 1,606 yards? That's all you do? Do you say that every day to yourself?
No. Nope.
Have you already forgotten about that?
Yeah, that's the whole
thing.
No,
it's a distant memory.
Oh, yeah.
1,606 yards.
I wake up and I'm like, ugh, and I try to run out a good big fart to get my day
started.
And then I brush my teeth.
Mm-hmm. Doubling down there, Murray.
Yeah, you gotta get your
1,606. Pick two. Speak about a pick two.
Let's also say hello to the 12-year veteran of the black and gold. Here he is, everybody. Ike Taylor. What's going down, fella?
He changed the
I changed it. What's going down? There, I got my
touch.
What's
going down? The language.
Oh, man.
A little Bruce Lee going on your T-shirt there, right?
I was about to say something on that what's going down, but I'm good.
That's for the best. Let's move forward. So, yeah, first issue, you mentioned Broncos and Panthers. Little curveball thrown by Denver right out of the gate. The AFC, as people who don't care about uniforms as much as I do may not know, that it alternates year to year which conference gets the choice. This year it's the AFC. And interestingly, the Broncos have decided to eschew the home orange jerseys in favor of all white because they have never won a Super Bowl in the in the orange, right? Yeah, in the orange because they won in the navy.
The navy, the blue, yeah.
So they're going all white a la the Academy Awards.
Yeah. And every virginal bride. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. What do we make of that choice? Is that a savvy move?
Nah, that's too superstitious.
Too superstitious?
Yeah, like...
You did it in Super Bowl...
I didn't know.
In Super Bowl 40, you weren't consulted by Coach Cowher.
No.
When you guys were the Road Warriors as the sixth seed, you guys decided, well, we've been wearing the white jerseys during this playoff run. Let's stick with it in Super Bowl 40.
No, we wouldn't have cared.
Players don't even pay attention to that.
I don't believe that that's true.
I don't care.
I think some players don't pay attention to that. I think some players...
Yeah, I
superstitious.
Don't.
You had no superstitions before a game?
No.
You strike me as somebody who would totally have a bunch.
For mine.
You're from the Bayou. I would think that voodoo is burned into your DNA.
You'd be surprised what I did before the games. You'd be very surprised.
Let's get into it. Let's
illuminate into us.
Yeah.
What happened
Come
before
on.
The games? You needed what you needed.
I released.
You released.
Maurice, superstitions?
No, I just always wanted to look good. So I know in Jacksonville we had the
mission accomplished.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty much we wanted to have the all blacks. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the uniform that we chose was all black for a while. I mean, when we went to our playoff run, it didn't matter what we wore because I wasn't going to change anything. If you're the road team, you just got to go on the road
I'm
and handle your business.
I'm disappointed by that. I'm very disappointed
you wanted
by that
more
response.
Out of You wanted more out of the superstition. I,
I would
that.
Like to think you care. I mean, that is a part of pro football lore. The Philadelphia Eagles in 1980 mm-hmm. made the Cowboys go with the royal blue. In Philly, they went with the white to put a pox on the Cowboys, and it worked.
Yeah, it did work.
Sklar's, how say you? Any pre-show rituals?
What we'll do is we'll wear each other's clothes for about 5 minutes, and then we switch it back. Yeah, that's just a pre-show thing we like to do.
Why y'all do that?
Underwear too?
No. We can't dress in the same genre. Yeah, if I was wearing like a button down that had stripes like he had right there, and one of us would have to go home and change or die. One of us would have to die. Yeah.
Somebody has to go. Serious.
Someone has to go. I mean,
But I thought that would be like funny for your routine for you guys to dress the same and you take your glasses off.
Thereby confirming that you know nothing of comedy.
Yeah.
That's not funny to dress alike.
That was so harsh.
I love that you think that we need clothing to buttress our comedy. Well, no, and then that's what they're essentially saying about the football. Is that
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter what you're wearing. You got to bring the goods. For us, you know, if it's all about dressing the same, we used to dress the same when we started off in comedy, and that was one of the biggest mistakes we ever made.
Is that true?
True.
Did you?
Very beginning.
Was that, 25 years your mom's ago. Call? Does that date back to
No, our parents childhood? Did not want us to go into comedy. They were like, go to law school. Do something other than this.
But it does seem like I've always felt that twins get a raw deal because their parents make them dress the same. And it's a weird move to do that to your kids.
Yeah, to me, it seems like they miss the point. Like, can't people see that they look alike? You now have to. It also is kind
it's
of like
gilding the lily. It's like too much like the joke on the joke that doesn't work.
Also, like, you're kind of saying that people out there are stupid.
Yeah.
That people out there can't tell that your two kids look alike.
Right.
No, we're going to have to dress them alike so that everybody from like 500 yards
enforcing
can
the notion that you're not distinct and individual people. Yeah. You are a pair or not at all.
It is like saying a joke and then afterwards over and over saying, get it, get it, get it. Get it?
These guys tell jokes, and I know that Maurice and Ike, you enjoy their comedy. Maurice, I'm going to start with you. Who's funnier, Randy or Jason?
And be honest.
I don't know, because I haven't heard their jokes yet. Tell a joke, and I can... You have your joke. What's your go-to
you're
joke?
You're going to do a bit
I don't
right
know
now?
If I have a go-to
What's your go-to?
Go-to
joke? Everyone has a go-to when you're in the crunch time.
We work together, man. We're a team. We're
no,
a
right
team.
Now you're not a team. We split apart.
Maurice, isn't that, I mean, that's a little bit like somebody saying, like, hey, run a 40-yard dash for me right
no,
now.
No, it's just like, what's your go-to move? And I'd be like, oh, it's just this. And then
what
dead
is your
leg.
Go-to move? Show us your go-to move.
It's just simple.
If you're going to ask
one,
for them
two,
to do a bit.
And then I let them hit this leg, and this has all the powers on this one, so I just spin out the way.
That's right.
Works every time.
Works every time.
Every time.
That's my go-to joke, too. That's what's amazing. That exact move. Go-to.
That gets laughs.
Yeah, it always gets a laugh.
And then you run around.
I don't know. It's less, you know, our comedy is less about, like, hard jokes.
We have some hard jokes in there.
We change stuff around.
You got to have a joke. You're a comedian. You're funny.
We have new jokes. We have newest jokes. New jokes in our act. We just found out that Bruce Jenner is going to star in the new Transformers movie.
Amazing.
That's a good one. What about you?
I'll tag that joke with he does know how to use his car as a weapon. So
he's
there you
already
go.
Won.
So we're tagging that on the other side.
They just took a look at each other like an old married couple. Like we need to leave.
Was that good?
Do we like it?
I like that one.
Yeah.
Funny.
Oh,
Pharrell.
Really?
Well, also his name is Pharrell too.
Thank you. True. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
What do you guys think would be better? Who would fare better if you guys switched professions? Would Ike and Maurice be better as stand-up comedians, or would the Sklar's be better football players?
No, we would have to change.
Well, we have the same bodies that we have now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we would just be who we are.
Now you're a running back and you're a cornerback.
Oh, man.
Stand-up would have to change for us. I feel like me and MJD got to be more like on the street comedy.
You mean like up close magic?
Something like that.
Don't
like
you love it when like people see up close magic and they just like see a card trick or something happen and they just run?
I feel like the stand-up comedy is kind of hard.
Yeah, stand-up comedy is... I will say this. Let me just say this about comedy. Comedy feels more doable than football. Like, I watch people play football and I'm like, what that guy did, I can't do. Like, his body just did something that I physically can't do. Stand-up comedy
what Gronk
is just
did in the end zone to come back and get that ball.
You
this
guys
past
could
weekend,
if you
like,
train like that, though. Like the same way you guys practice because your routine
but
is
still there are physical limitations.
We're athletes too. I mean, we played sports in high school.
I mean, obviously, we're athletes.
Obviously,
but
I don't have to tell you that.
There are things that I can't do. Like, I can't, after I score a touchdown, jump up and dunk.
Me either.
I can't even come close to that. There are things I can't do.
You know what you
Stand-up comedy is just talking. We all do it, but it's deceptive because there's a lot that goes on that you don't realize, and see, people see it. If they see it, it looks easy.
Everyone thinks you're supposed to be able to dunk. See, me, I just shoot a free throw.
That's right.
That's just simple.
That's smarter. That's the comedy.
That's the comedy. There you go.
But stand-up comedy, y'all have to have people's undivided attention for a while.
Long time. We do it for an hour.
Which is hard.
It's really hard.
It's extraordinarily hard.
You have to practice a routine, right?
And there's a lot of, you know, you're sort of weaving something out of nothing. And especially if you start with an audience that doesn't know who you are, you have to let them trust you that you're going to be funny and you're going to carry them on this journey for the next hour. And then you're standing up there and you're like, you have to keep their attention.
Let's make this happen for real. First order of business, Maurice and Ike up on the stage.
I love it.
We'll work with you guys.
But
we'll
then let's make sure, maybe it'll have to wait till August, but let's get to a training camp and get the Sklars in there.
I'll run through the combine.
I'll run the 40. You can race Rich.
That'd be great.
That'd be hilarious.
Combine would be great.
Well, Shaq, you're supposed to race Rich.
At the combine.
Well, I mean, it was my 9 years in the league were mostly positive. I had mostly really good experiences.
You can run. You can beat Rich.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can do that. But more importantly, you know what I got. You know what this is about.
But we're talking about a 40. It's NFL Now.
You know what this is about.
Yeah.
It's his game day blitz versus game day morning. Mm-hmm. You are our guy.
Yeah.
Are you?
So I'm representing all of us.
Yes.
Okay.
I think he can do it.
I'm not afraid.
I believe. We just got to work with you. We'll just work with you a little bit, get you some, you know.
One thing that I'll beat Eisen with is the Tom Brady underpants picture. I mean, this is not impressive, but I think it's going to look better than Eisen.
Can you beat Richard running? His 40 time.
It's going to be close.
It's going to be tight.
He runs around a 6.0. So
6.0.
He's not making it.
Was he 6.0?
I think
he's like 6.2.
What were you at your height?
4.3.
You're only 4.31.
4.31.
He's different. He's a different speed.
4.18.
That's all time great.
And I Googled that.
And that's true.
4.18 is insane.
They think. And Maurice backs us up. Ike thinks this as well. That Ike at 4.18 could beat Usain Bolt in a foot race, in a 40-yard dash.
But, like, 4.18 is, for us, when we grew up, is Daryl Green-style levels. Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody, when we were young, it's like, Daryl Green could outrun your car. That's what everybody says. Like, he could outrun a horse. He could outrun your car. He's so fast. Even at 44 years old, he could outrun all that stuff. Still is fast. Like, what do you think Daryl Green could run today?
4.4.
That's insane.
4.1. To me, if I was 4.18, if I was 4.18, I would carry that everywhere I went. If I was at the bank and someone was giving me disrespect, I'd be like, are you joking? 4.18.
4.18.
4.18. Get me that deposit slip. 4.18.
I'm a has-been. That's what you got to understand about.
Oh, Mike, don't talk
that
way.
No, for real.
Hey, we got to do something real quick here. We have to talk in front of Super Bowl 50 here. We got to talk about who we're loving, presented by McDonald's. I'll lead the way here. Please. This is an obvious thing, and I'll be the 5 billionth person to point this out, but I'm fascinated by all the discussion of the last 5 years that, you know, the NFL is turning towards the running QB, that you have to have that. And then there's the old guard who says, no, he has to be a pocket passer. And here we are, really 4 or 5 years since Colin Kaepernick and RG3 and Andrew Luck made the scene. And now we have really 18, this old guard guy versus Cam Newton, a revelation. And people are trying to hold him up as, they say, oh, he's just the latest in a Randall Cunningham mold or anything else. We've never seen anything like Cam Newton in the NFL. That's what I love about this Super Bowl above all else. Maurice, what are you loving?
I think for me, we're seeing old school football. And that's something that me and I have talked about over the last couple of days is you're seeing teams that run the ball and play solid defense. Not about, you know, this high-flying passing offense and all these other things. That doesn't win games anymore. And as much as we try to get away from what the core of football and the culture of football and the nucleus of what football is, it always comes back to the beginning of who runs the ball the best and who can stop the run and play solid defense. Simple as that.
I mean, as a defensive guy, you know, on a team where defense was, in my opinion, the reason you got, obviously love Big Ben, but defense was the reason you guys were in. I look at the Steelers this year going to Denver, having so little and guys banged up and people not in, that defense kept them in that game.
You know who foretold that back in August? Ike Taylor. He said it will be a liability for the first 8 weeks or so, and then you will see that defense emerge.
I mean, defense just wins championships, and we get away from that. So I think just, you know, no disrespect, but to the fantasy, a lot of fantasy guys, fantasy owners, they want to see the points because the guys they have, the Mercedes, the Antonio Browns, the Tom Brady's, they want to see point scores. But just as a football player, you understand, man, it's the basic ingredient. But
doesn't it tighten up in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, the D tightens up a little bit more?
You're more in tune. Mm-hmm. Like,
every play.
Like,
no one
practice
takes a playoff.
Is a regular season game for the Super Bowl. That's how fast practice was moving.
Right.
It's a game. It's a regular season game, but you're at practice during the week. That's how much the intensity.
So you're up here when you come in.
That's how much the intensity goes up because you don't want to be that guy to let your team down.
Right. That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying? Because you only get one shot. And we talked about it yesterday. Baseball, you get the World Series. Basketball, you get seven games. Football, it's sniper mode.
I love that these guys point out that the regular season, it's obviously they're professionals and they're trying hard, but January is a shock to the body because guys tune it up and start hitting way harder and rookies are stunned by it
in games.
I went to the playoffs once, and the one time we went, we didn't even wear pads in practice because it was like, I could already see where this is going.
Yeah.
So we're just going to play fast and we'll be fresh for all these games.
You didn't want anyone to get hurt leading in
the
ramp
way,
up.
Because you know people are hitting
that's
hard.
That's a huge liability.
It was like a graveyard full of zombies walking into a practice. Everybody was focused.
Yeah.
Well, nobody saying nothing.
Mm. No like, goofing around, no joking around.
Nah, you goofed around, but as soon as you cross that white line, it's like, psh.
Yeah, I cannot imagine. Dead. That, like you said, that the thing that would plague me from the moment I realized my team is in the Super Bowl is the thought I better not be the guy who ruins.
Yeah,
I better not be the guy who blows
out. You
don't
want to be that guy. It's
well, how do you get over that?
It's a game changing event. Like I tell people all the time, I wouldn't be sitting up here if I didn't win two Super Bowls. I mean, just let's for real.
Maurice is sitting here. He didn't win any Super Bowls.
But Maurice was
He was a first round draft pick.
He really was.
And if he would have played it probably a year or two, he probably would have been in the Hall of Fame.
That's right. One more year for Maurice, Hall of Fame.
8,100 some yards.
And a beloved human being. Let's talk about like him. Let's talk about him like he's dead.
You know what I'm saying?
He was a great guy.
He was alive. I loved everything he did.
May he rest in peace.
He's very knowledgeable of football, but that's one of the reasons why I'm here, man, because people want to know, like, in order for you to go to three and win two, what did you do? And the dedication, the hard work. When my homeboys was partying, I was working out.
Yep.
In college, man, when everybody was drinking and smoking, I was working out.
Well, that was really a function of the fact that you didn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah. I had a ton of friends, but that's the dedication part to
it. Of course.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like all out. I'm 10 toes in. I'm not 9. I'm not 7. I'm 10 toes in whatever I do. And people want to they want to see why. And what caused you to do that? I mean, I still work out to this day.
By the way, but you guys have that attitude here around NFL Now and what you guys do around here. We are super impressed by both of you and how your work ethic. You bring that, what you had there, you bring it into here, and I think that's why you guys are both good.
It was family orientated. I know with Pittsburgh, everything was family. And Coach T pet peeve was when you come into the facility after practice, make sure your shoes are clean. Because the janitor, even though he's a janitor, he shouldn't be cleaning up after a grown man. Mm. That was a pet peeve of Coach T. And make sure you say good morning. Make sure you treat everybody in cafeteria with respect. That was a pet peeve of Coach T.
Good.
So once you have that, it's like
teaching you guys
everybody,
how to be men.
Everybody's the same.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. I'm always fascinated by those stories. By the way, did you tell Coach Tomlin, because obviously there are a lot of guys in that locker room when Tomlin gets to his first Super Bowl. Did you tell him what the score is? Here's how you approach the week? Or did he lead the way again?
He already knew because he won one with Tampa.
Mm. Oh, that's right, yes.
That's
he
right.
won one with Tampa. So he kind of already knew. I mean, he has a couple of guys, Casey Hampton. He has a few guys, James Ferrier. He has a few guys, you know, what do y'all want to do throughout the week? But for the most part, man, matter of fact, it was in Tampa. And he already knew, you know, just winning a Super Bowl with Tampa coaching staff, he already knew what time it was, man. So, Coach T, that was good. He had that on his resume, so he kind of understood what to do throughout the week. But he already had veteran guys anyway. So, this was our second time going. So we knew. Your majority of your team was the second time going, so you really didn't have to say much. Mm-hmm. All you had to do was tell your veteran guys and let the other guys believe.
Well, all right, so does that make a difference looking at this game? You know, this Carolina team, there aren't a lot of guys who were there. Denver was there a couple
of
years.
Ron Rivera won the Super Bowl, coached in the Super Bowl.
So there's that.
And he is the personality of this team.
And you know what they say about Cam Newton? You know, they say, you know, he's so young. He's such a new professional. You know, and I say...
But he won a national championship.
And this he was a professional at Auburn. When he got paid to play at Auburn, he was a professional there.
Right.
And so he's a professional now. The stages are big.
It isn't too big for Cam.
He can handle it.
Yeah, he can handle any kind of stage.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Cam said something in an interview before the championship game. He was like, I work too hard to bottle my emotions. And what people fail to realize, football is an emotional game. It's a game about controlled aggression. Or controlled excitement. So you don't want to get too high, but when the time to get high, you got to get up, then you got to bring it back a little bit.
Right. As I always say, people who want to come down on Cam for celebrating and showing joy for doing his job well, if you bemoan him doing that, you are to the right of Bill Belichick on that issue. He says you should be allowed. It's hard to play football well. Go ahead and show joy. If you're to the right of Belichick on something.
But it's fun. I'm a big proponent of, like, sure. I wish Major League Baseball, like, you watch the Korean leagues, the Korean bat flips are just, like, the most fun things you've ever seen in your entire life. You watch that and you're like, that is fun. Right. And, of course, to tamp that down, you guys work so hard and have so much fun into it.
You just did something.
That's just like trying to tamp down the handshakes in baseball. When guys sitting in the dugout and come up with these awesome handshakes.
Yes!
You like watching that.
It is fun.
To Cam's defense, I'm like, just stop me. If you don't want me doing my dance moves.
I thought it was cool that Barry Sanders, the old act like you've been there before, that was cool, but that was his move.
The idea that you shouldn't be
an individual is loco. You know, Ron Rivera reminds me. I think it's striking that Ron Rivera and Gary Kubiak, two very different human beings, have the exact same hairdo.
No, Gary Kubiak's hair is, his face looks like one of...
Somebody jumping out, like the Muppet hair. It's like somebody jumping off the plane and forgot his parachute and the skin just pulled in his face back.
Right, or Doug Collins, the basketball coach, if someone pulled his face back like that, it kind of looks like
it does have a stretched quality to it. Yeah, you're right.
And Ron Rivera looks like every cop who's ever pulled me over.
Yeah. What is better, Cam Newton and Peyton Manning, two other very different human beings, like we say, one, round about 40, the other a young man in his professional prime. What's better about being older, being Peyton Manning in this situation?
I think if you go down in the game or if something happens and you don't have, you know, something happens and there's adversity, because you think about the playoff games that the Panthers have dealt with. They went way out ahead, and then the other team came back, but they stayed ahead. They went way out ahead, and then the other team came back a little, and then they went out ahead again. So if, by some chance, you know, the Broncos go up, you know, 14-0, 17-0, the question is, how are they going to respond? We don't know. If they go down, if you know, it happens like it happened in the first two playoff games for Carolina, I think Peyton will be calm and he'll say, we can do this. You know, he's got that. I've been there before. I think it's
going to be a blowout. And in as much as I love Denver, and I would love to see Peyton Manning win this Super Bowl and then retire right there on the spot and just say, because to me, I think he's great for the game. I think he goes, everybody as fans wants to see people go down as we saw one of the best of all time. I feel that way about LeBron in basketball.
That's right.
I feel
you
that way
about.
You want
to be in the moment.
I think it's like
generational pride. We all want to be like, we had the guy who was the best
guy. That's
right.
That's exactly right. That's what fans are looking for.
So, you know, Peyton having gone to four Super Bowls, if he wins this second one, and I personally believe that Cam Newton will be, he's 26, over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, he'll be at like two or three more Super Bowls. This is a great team with a great coach, very focused. If he doesn't win this year, I don't feel as bad for Cam because I know that he'll be back. I feel like this is it for Peyton one way or the other. So that's in my own personal thing. I'm pulling for that. But I just do not see how that, you know, Cam Newton is the reason that team is going to be great. Peyton in his where he is right now with his health and whatnot. He isn't the reason.
Right.
It's the defense and it's the running game, as you guys pointed out before. So if they win, it's not going to be because Peyton has like a 380-yard game.
No, it'll be Von Miller with like three sacks and interceptions.
It's the pressure. And it's the pressure coming from his family. I mean, if you saw Archie in that box,
man he couldn't even look.
Yeah, you saw how tense that pressure was for his son. Man, I already got my youngest son. My youngest son's stats in Eli, man, not even close to Peyton's, but he got two chips.
Got two chips.
You know what I'm saying? So Peyton can talk all the talk you want to talk, Hall of Fame, but young bro be like, hey, I got two.
Mm-hmm. It is, you know, when people want to, you know, it's somewhere in between. It's not an absolute in either way. Well, Peyton obviously is the field general, and you have to plan for him in the week in advance of a game. Eli has those trophies. Yeah, they play the game to they play the season to completion and give the Lombardi Trophy to one team every year for a reason. When people say it doesn't matter if you win championships, it's a team sport. Yeah, they also pay the quarterback way more than they pay the third wide receiver because it's more on his shoulder. So the QB's ring count does matter.
But I would say if I were to put these up again, and you tell me who is a better quarterback, Dan Marino or Eli Manning, when all is said and done, who is a better quarterback? Dan Marino or Eli Manning? I think most people would say Dan Marino was a better quarterback. He didn't win the championship. He didn't do it.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say that?
Because I remember watching the game, and I wasn't, you know, when the Jags beat him. I mean, he was in a situation where he had a chance at the end, and the Jags beat him 62-7 or something that. Like, to be, for me, a quarterback, it's not about what you, it's about that one moment you have, right? So you have guys like Eli who, the reason the Giants won is because he got hot in the playoffs.
He did get hot.
He got hot
Jim
twice.
Kelly? What about Jim Kelly? That's a guy who's a phenomenal all-time.
But
up
I think
there
he is. He went to four Super Bowls. I mean, he made plays when they needed to. They just ran to the Cowboys a couple times, who had a quarterback that was
hot. Led them down the field in the position to win, and your kicker didn't finish it off. If the kicker finishes it off, then you're the hero.
That's why it's new. That's exactly right.
You're the
Bills
hero.
Would be regarded completely differently if Scott Norwood makes that kick. There would be
but
no.
By the way,
and
to that end, Kurt Warner is. We're sitting here saying, is he going to make it into the Hall of Fame?
Oh no, he's going to go. You know
he's
why? Gonna
go, but he should again. The Rams, as St. Louis guys, the Rams should have won that. Should have won that Super Bowl against the Patriots, the first one that the Patriots won. Should have.
But the reason Kurt's going to go, and we had this discussion, I want to say with Marshall Faulk about it in the green room, and he was telling me about quarterbacks. And I'm like, dude, you play with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, right? And I was like, you got to understand, like, it's different when you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Trent Green. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But. You got to remember, that St. Louis Rams team, they had five Hall of Famers.
Bruce.
Pace.
Falk, I mean, behind them, right?
Yeah, you had a ton of people there. Weapons all over. So it helps. It makes the quarterback's job easier.
Well, but again, that's why I say it's nuanced. Obviously, yes, Chip Kelly is better than Brad Johnson. And Brad Johnson has said Trent Dilfer and so
Chip
on.
Kelly,
there's
Jim Trent, Dil-
Trent Jim
Dilfer.
Kelly, yes.
Trent Dilfer. I could have played quarterback on that team. He turned around
right, I hear
and hand
you,
the ball
but,
off. I
but the ring count does
times.
Matter, and as far as that goes, guys like Lynn Swann are not in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't make an iconic catch in Super Bowl X. The Super Bowl result does matter whether people want to sign off on that
all the
or
time.
Not. Hey, you mentioned the St. Louis Rams. I don't know if you heard the news.
What's that?
L.A. Rams now.
Oh, they're the L.A. Rams now.
What is the – where do you
me?
Come down morally
just,
as parents
just finding
now?
Out right
Shaq,
now.
Before that even goes, we had a – your boy Nickel brought a Ram – here.
Yeah. Oh, know. We knew. We
okay, I'm about to say.
To we're trying to, we're deniers.
Don't deny it, because they're back home.
Maurice tried to deny a nice greeting with the Rams.
Listen, we're, Ram, rude. We're Ram birthers. Where was that Ram from? Huh? Show me a birth certificate.
No, that Ram was a wild animal.
You did right.
You didn't
like
it.
They wanted to bring the Ram in here.
Maurice couldn't even get. I mean, this is essentially a rookie. Maurice, you went.
No, it's not a rookie.
One day you were drafted by UCLA on one side of the country. You got on a plane. You flew across the country. You walked in there as a young man into the Jacksonville locker room. I'm sure people went out and extended a hand to you and said, welcome.
We can speak the same language.
And instead, you didn't do that to the Ram. That was a weird move by you.
Hey, Shaq, a Ram is an untamed animal, right? So you watch National Geographic.
Yeah.
And they.
Yeah. That's when they see another Ram.
By the way, the Ram. I don't want him to relapse. Okay. I don't want him to think I'm a Ram.
He might see something like that he addiction. Don't like and just start to ram and everything.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
he might think I'm a relapse.
But could we? I know Ram, he was pretty diminutive, but is there a more football-oriented animal than a Ram? I mean, what the Ram does is essentially football.
It's like every play, the offensive and defensive line.
I really do think if LA wanted to reposition itself, give it a rebranding, The beast that has not been used is the rhino, and it has a double meaning in Los Angeles too, because so many of rhinoplasty.
A lot of people. Yeah,
real quick, before we finish up here, mm-hmm. regarding the Rams, you're parents of young kids. Mm-hmm. Is it morally wrong to try and keep them from rooting for the local team here? Will you let them be Rams fans? Because now you're St. Louis residents.
Yeah.
Now that team scorned you.
Right. I mean, a few teams scorned us.
I mean,
true.
They're L.A. residents.
We're L.A. residents. We're originally from St. Louis. Yeah. You know what?
You guys stole the L.A. Rams beforehand. They just came back home. What's the issue?
To me, I said that it felt like watching someone steal the dog that you rescued, and that someone turned out to be the person you rescued him from. That's what it felt like when the Rams were going.
Honestly, Sheck, I lament
the fact... You guys rescued the L.A. Rams, what you're telling me.
I lament the fact that there is no longer professional football in St. Louis. And I'll say this.
It's a football town, though. It's a hockey and baseball
team. Nope, yeah. It is a football town because it can be. When the Rams were good and Kurt Warner was, when they were playing...
They were selling tickets for $2 and people still weren't showing up.
No.
It's a Cardinals town.
I agree that it's a Cardinals town, but I think people supported that. And I think, I don't know if an NBA franchise could be there. And I don't know if they'd support
an NBA
franchise.
Y'all got the best of both worlds. Y'all stayed in St. Louis, got a little piece of the St. Louis Rams.
I know.
Y'all moved to L.A. Now you get
if they guys are being greedy now.
No. I will let my kids support the Rams. I would let my son.
It's a very tough spot if you're from St. Louis as the parent.
I just don't like to see a professional sports team leave the city that we grew up in that I feel like needs that other leg of the thing. So if the Raiders were to come back down here,
I'm going to be an East L.A. Raiders fan to the day I go.
Right? So listen. So
I'm going to get it tatted on me.
So if the Raiders come down here and you're a kid in the Bay, East Bay or wherever, growing up right now, you're a baby and you grow up, you could be grow up as a 49ers fan and drive however you want to go down to Levi's Stadium.
40 minutes down.
An hour down to Levi's Stadium and watch a professional football team play in your area. If you're a St. Louis kid right now, you either have to go to Kansas City or Indianapolis or
Kansas
up to
City
Chicago.
Down the street.
Five hours away.
No, it's like, you know what? People's hearts aren't as fickle as yours, Maurice. They're trying to be loyal. He roots for the Warriors and the Spurs. Same conference.
I know.
Let me tell you something.
Who were you rooting for last night? 120-90.
Warriors all the time.
All the way, Warriors.
And the Spurs.
I wonder how much that answer might have changed if the result changed.
I actually sat and talked to some people from Oakland, one of the games I drove up early. And these people drive up in the middle of the night from L.A., San Diego, all over to go to Oakland.
So if they came down here,
I think it would be the same. I think people would drive down because it's not about this. It's more about the team and who you've been able to like.
I identify them.
Identify with right.
I identify the Raiders with L.A. I know they're Oakland, and I know as kids we grew up and watched Kenny Stabler and Cliff Branch and Dave Casper. We watched those guys, and it was amazing being in the Midwest. We would catch those games, those late games, just being there on like a.
And it's still kind of sunny out, and it's dark where we are, and we're watching.
What that is was this best. Exotic was land where the sun shines? It was always fun.
But I will say now it's easier to follow your team when you're not there because of all the ways to
the
watch.
The Raiders, being games. An L.A. Raiders fan is weird because they basically had the Oakland Raiders had an affair with a fair-haired beauty down in Southern California and then ran back to the old ball and chain.
That's
a weird one. All right, it's time to go. But as you can see, we're headed up to Santa Clara / San Francisco, and I hope you get the sense that we're going to have a good time. All next week, make sure you're tuned in to NFL Now and Beyond. The Sklar brothers will be there. Maurice Jones-Drew will be there. Ike Taylor will be there. The time she'll be gay. I hope you will join us. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com.
Hey, this is Dan Hansis alongside Chris Wessling.
Hey, Dan.
Mark Sessler and the boss, Greg Rosenthal. We're the Around the NFL podcast. Check us out three times a week as we discuss the latest NFL news as it happens. Always, of course, with a touch of mirth. Subscribe at nfl.com/podcasts, iTunes, and Stitcher.